Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible.
Yep, Mike.
In the study, and we are excited. So excited about it. So as we go further in the service, what we're going to start off with, we're just going to do a little bit of information. For those of you who are new to the studio, you have to put your phones on mute so that we don't hear the background noise. And then we will ask whenever you get ready to speak that you would then unmute. So we're excited again to have you with us this evening. And as always, we're going to start off our study with prayer. And as we have prayer, we'll have the reading of scripture, and then we'll have a song, worship by June Rochelle, and we'll have intercessory prayer. And I'm not sure if Bishop will be with us tonight. Looks like he made it. We'll have intercessory prayer. He'll lead us. And we will start as I speak. Margaret. I don't know if you're able to read the scripture, but good. Awesome.
I am. Thank
awesome.
You.
So I'll start Praise off with God. Prayer. Lord, we come before you tonight. We are so excited. We're so thrilled. Lord, we've gone through so many trials this week. We've had tears. We've had challenges. We've had racism. We have sexism. We've had all kinds of isms and challenges. But that's because we know that this is going to be a phenomenal study. We know that somebody's heart is going to be changed, somebody's life is going to be different, and all over the world in which we reside, oh God, your word, your voice will go forward, and somebody, when Bishop offers them, extends to them the right invitation to accept you as a personal Savior, will accept, and we will add them to the family of God. We're so excited because that's why we do what we do. Tonight, we're going to be talking about so many good things. We're at the end of our book with Dr. Charles Spurgeon. We've been talking about the power of prayer, praying successfully, the golden keys of prayer, finding peace in life's storms. Spurgeon talks forever in a day about praise. And now we're talking about the very last book. It's talking about power over Satan. Yay! And as we talk about power over Satan, we're going to talk about how Satan considers the saint. We're going to talk about Satan considerations and what they look like. We're going to talk about his injurious view and how it impacts us. We're going to talk about higher considerations, and we are going to celebrate in the what has not already happened in the midst of the not yet. We are so excited, and we are ready to go. So, God, we come before you right now. We're just asking as we walk into the throne room, as we feel and experience the splendor of your love, as our senses are enhanced because we've never been here before at this moment. Every time we come before you is different. And we are so excited. We are so thrilled. We're so pumped up, oh, God, to be able to be in your presence. And we see the crystal sea. We see the emerald rainbow around the throne. We sense the 24 elders who are bowing prostrate saying, holy, 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 Lord God, thou art mighty. We are so enamored with the beast with all the eyes who are praising you constantly. And so we join in that praise saying, holy, holy, holy. And God, with that, we come before you with our petition. As we confess that we have fallen short of all that you've asked us to do, we haven't done it all perfectly or greatly. But Lord, some of us, most of us, we've come with hearts that have been opened, and we ask that your grace and mercy might extend the difference from that which we fail. But Lord, we have a heart that is willing. Transform and change us into being all that you desire for us and want us to be. Thank you, O God, because we come tonight soliciting your wisdom and knowledge, your revelation knowledge, that we might be transformed, that our hearers might hear a word from you in the Holy Spirit and Jesus, that the Trinity might make itself present in our lives tonight, this moment, that we become so aware of your presence that we are on fire for you. Thank you, O God, as we come before you. We ask that you would change and transform us, that we don't leave the same way we came. We are trusting the transformation process that takes place whenever we have a divine encounter with you. We ask these blessings in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen,
amen.
And amen.
The scripture.
Uh-huh.
The scripture reading comes from the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 22.
A little louder.
Verses 1 through 22. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then. Everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burnt up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this point, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. We're going to hear a song by Vicki Winer, First Trumpet Sound.
Spend eternity.
Hallelujah. First trumpet, glory. Amen. Is Bishop Michael there? Okay. I don't see Bishop Michael there. So let's do a roll call and see who we have on the line tonight. Who do we have on the line tonight? If you would come off of your speakers, off of mute, and announce yourselves. Who's on the line tonight?
Hi there. It's Margaret from Gulfstream, Florida.
All right. Nice. Glad you're here, Margaret.
Thank
who
you.
Who else is in the
glad
house?
Glad to be here.
Who else is in the house this evening?
This is Pastor Chris from Champaign, Illinois.
Excited you with us, Pastor Chris. Praise God.
Glad to be here.
Anybody else joining us tonight?
Minister Young from Champaign, Illinois.
Minister Young, we are so excited to hear from you. I know, Pastor Chris, I hadn't met you yet, but God's blessings be with you. Thank you for joining us. Is
Thank
anyone
you for
else
having
on
me.
The line? Who else is on the line with us? We got a couple of people on the line, and as always, we don't ask everybody to speak. We see you there, Brother Ivan. God's blessings be with you. I know you're working and you're just listening. That's perfectly fine. And there are others of you who are listening on the line tonight and just choose not to speak, and that's all right, because our goal is to have a panel of people who can talk and ask questions. And if you decide to join, you are always welcome to join us and speak. So at this time, we're going to have intercessory prayer. I was going to ask Pastor Chris to do it, but I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable. So I will go ahead and do the intercessory prayer. So we're asking the question tonight, who on the line would like to offer prayers for yourselves or others? Who has a prayer request or praise report?
Oh, Dr. Susie, no. This is Margaret. Oh, go ahead.
Nobody had one. Go ahead, Margaret.
Okay. I just want to praise God today because my daughter, Maya, my youngest, did get to buy her house and she's moved in, but I'd lift up prayer for her because she's having back pain. She's in the 25th week of her pregnancy, and just prayers for her to continue through to the end with no problems. And also for my daughter-in-law, Catherine, who has 14 weeks to go, and has a hiatal hernia. She had twins the first time, so just prayers that her pregnancy would continue to the end without complications.
And also,
I'd ask for a healing touch because I haven't been feeling well.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're asked for healing for yourself. Okay. This is Dr. Susie, and I want to lift up, first of all, I have a prayer request for, I have a job interview coming up, and so I'm asking blessings for that. And also, asking prayers for the Bible study. We had a bishop is not feeling well, and he is gone today. He wanted to normally does our intercessory prayer, but he is off for the summer, and he's doing Bible and asking for prayer, and he'll be going to Africa. So he's going to be out of the study for some time. So we ask prayers for our Bible study. And, you know, we just thank the Lord because right when he left, the Lord sent two other men, at least tonight, to praise him, to share God's word, and to be a part of the study and the dialogue. God says, you know, when it's his program, he'll provide. And so I praise God for the increase. So we want to pray for the Bible study. I ask prayer for my children, James and Sydney, for their continued success and health and wealth. And I pray for veterans everywhere, that God will touch them, specifically for those who have suicidal ideation, those who are struggling with alcoholism and drug and alcoholism, and for those who are in palliative care and hospice right now and are on that journey home. So asking blessings for those as well. We also want to lift up and have pray for revival in the church. Amen. And so, again, is there any other prayer requests, prayer for others that you know? There was a request. I asked a prayer for a specific person by the name of Jay. And Jay is struggling. He lost someone to suicide. So I just asked that you might cover or bless Jay that he can have the support that he needs as he's struggling with that loss. Jay and Monica, actually. So both of them. So we're just trusting God to provide a lot of healing there. Are there other prayer requests? Brother Carter, did you want to get off the line to offer any prayer requests or praise reports? Okay. And gentlemen, do either of you want to lift up anything, Pastor Chris and Minister Young?
Yeah, I'd like to give praise and honor to God for his faithfulness.
Amen.
Toward me. I think of the song that says, "All I have needed, thy hand has provided."
Amen.
Thank God, man, for
Hallelujah.
His faithfulness and in making provisions and
Amen.
His protection and for his power.
Amen.
In my life.
Amen.
Sending prayers and praying for those who are battling and going through periods of grief and you know, just the depression, you know, as the enemy desires to attack the mind.
Man.
That God can cover and as well as keep those that are just suffering in those facets of their life. And we know that God is the ultimate power. He has ultimate power. He's the ultimate healer and the ultimate sustainer.
Amen.
Even while we were yet in those places, God will always make a way. So I ask God to keep his hands on them.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for that. Amen. Pastor Chris, did you have any prayers?
Say that one more time.
Hello? I said, did you have any praise reports or prayer requests?
I'm just thanking God in advance for what's not yet, but yet to come.
Amen. Praise and thanking. Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and righteous, we are so grateful for you, O God. We're grateful that you allow us to approach your throne. We're grateful that you have made a way out of nowhere. You opened up the opportunity for us to come before you and request to praise, to pray, to solicit, to ask for love and ask for help, ask for your provision. And so as we do so, oh God, we say thank you. We lift up Margaret's daughter, Maya. We lift up her daughter-in-law, Catherine, as they are preparing to have children, babies. We ask that you would protect their pregnancies. You know everything about what's going on in their lives, and we just ask that you do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask for or imagine as we have lifted them to you, and you know every situation. So we released it and know that they are, as always, in the best of hands. We come, Lord, and I have petitioned that you would provide for me during this job interview, that you would bless me tremendously, and that that which you called me to seek would be mine. My name is on it, so I claim the victory even now. We pray for the Bible study, that as people have gotten busy, that Bishop would and others would be able to find time to participate, that Jamie and Sydney would be blessed as Jamie is endeavoring to find employment after graduation, and Sydney is working in the garden and doing things to enhance her home. And then, Lord, I just blessing that as you look out over this world, specifically here in the U.S., our veterans, oh God, we ask that you bless them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Lord, you know everything they stand in need of. Lord, we are praying for those who have suicidal ideation. We're praying for those who are struggling with drug and alcohol. We're praying for those who are in hospice on their deathbed, making their way to you. We're praying for their families, oh God, who are struggling and don't know which way to go, don't know what to do, but to turn to you. And as they turn to you, oh God, you are faithful and just and will never leave them nor forsake them. And so we rejoice. Lord, we pray for revival in the church. Lord, you know your church stands in need of lots and lots and lots of blessings and work. And Lord, the time is coming, as the woman say, the first trumpet sound headed to glory. And we're just asking that your church would be ready, that your people would understand the severity of the time and be about your business of preparing, be about your business of getting ready to go and packing up and getting things in order, because we are just strangers traveling through this barren land. And Lord, this is not our home. And so we praise you for the changes that were going to be made when we ask you these things, that we know that you, oh God, will provide everything we stand in need of. We pray for Jay, and we pray for Monica. And, Lord, you know everything that's happened. You know the struggle that they've experienced, suicide. Lord, you know that their families are hurting. And, Lord, we ask that you help them in their trauma. Help them that they have had secondary trauma, and that they, oh God, would survive, that they could be resilient and bounce back. Lord, you said that you'd never leave them. Let them feel your presence strongly so that they know the God that they serve is strong and able and willing. Thank you, oh God. We praise and honor you according to Minister Young. He is lifting up your faithfulness. Thank you for making provisions, not just for him, but for all of us, Lord, because you have done all that you said you would do, plus some. We are praying even now, those who are struggling and battling grief and depression, we ask, oh God, that you would strengthen them, that they would understand what it means when Joshua said, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Be strong and of good courage. Three times he said, be strong, because God has it, and that's what we have to stand and depend on. We also just want to thank you, Lord. As Pastor Chris has said, we want to thank you. We want to glorify you. We want to magnify you. We want to let you know just how important you are. Thank you, God. Thank you for holding us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you, oh God, for all the things you've done and are doing for us as we walk hand in hand with you. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Lord. In the matchless name of Jesus. And Lord, as we go into this service, We're asking for your guidance, asking that you, oh God, would provide your revelation knowledge, that the people in the 15 countries who are on this line would hear and know and learn and grow. And as they do so, oh God, that they would magnify your name, that they would tell their families and their loved ones and their friends that we won't be reticent, but we will tell our families and our friends and our loved ones what we talk about tonight, and we will praise you in the midst of it as we go through this week, as we go through this month, and we glorify your name. We thank you, and we offer this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. According to your will. Amen. So we have a whole lot going on, and we are so grateful, and we just are thankful tonight. And I'm just going to just do a little bit of housekeeping. So whenever we're in the studio, one of the challenges in the studio is acoustics. So if you have a headset on, that's fine. But if you are on a, what's that thing called? If you have an open mic where you're speaking on open mic, that conflicts with the acoustics in the studio. If you have a headset, that's not a problem. But when you have an open mic where you're speaking on the speakerphone, that doesn't work in the studio. So we would ask that you would just either hold the phone or get a headset or choose to mute until you're able to talk. And when someone, sort of the etiquette is that you're not over talk, you not extend or talk over someone. You allow them to talk. You give everybody full consideration, and that you not monopolize the floor. So if you hear me say brother or sister, then I'm kind of hinting for you to wind it up. So we are so grateful, and we're just asking tonight that you would come and praise God with the teaching and the learning that God has given you and the questions and the dialogue so that people can see that God is actively busy in the world. Amen, amen. So let's do some introductions. As you all know, I'm Reverend Dr. Susan Street Beavers. I am the host and the facilitator of the Bible study. So excited that everybody is with us tonight. And I just want everybody to go around and introduce yourself so that everybody can know a little bit about our panel tonight. Let's start with Brother Chris, Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris.
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Pastor Chris from Champaign, Illinois. I love God with my whole heart. I love the people of God. I'm from Champaign, as I said, chaplain, preacher, man of God, husband, father, all of those things. And I'm just grateful for this opportunity to be here on this broadcast with all of our listening audience and all of our panel guests on today. Praise God.
Amen. Pastor Chris, we're so glad to have you with us, to fellowship with us and share God's word. We look forward to all the wonderful things that you're going to share and talk with us about tonight. God's a blessing. Sir Young, Minister Young, could you share with us?
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Praise the Lord, everybody. My name is Minister Young. I'm also from Champaign, a guest of Pastor Chris, and excited and enthusiastic to be on the radio broadcast on tonight. It's truly a blessing and an honor to be considered, and I count it a privilege and an honor to always discuss God's word with God's people. Truly, we need more dialogue, and we need to spread the word So we're living in the last days as the intercessory prayer went forth, and we just need to hear more of God's word, pay attention to it, heed to it, because the time is coming, like the word says, where he'd be a thief in the night, and we need to get our business right. So look forward to the conversation on tonight and to really see what it means to be righteous and what it means to be repentant. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Margaret.
I'm Margaret from, well, presently in Gulfstream, Florida, vacationing, retired from the VA hospital where I met Dr. Susie many years ago, and we've been fast friends. We've been working for the Lord together, and our friendship Amen. Really stuck, and I praise God for that. I've enjoyed the Bible study. I feel called to be here every week when I can, and I'm very honored to be able to get the word out about the Amen. End times, about Jesus, about salvation, about our Almighty God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, with that, we just want to thank all of you for being here, and we are just excited about the guests that we have. We praise God for the Lord sending you to us to share with us tonight. And our topic tonight is going to be the first chapter of Job. And as we talk about the first chapter, it will be intermingled with discussion about Dr. Spurgeon's book, where he talks about Satan, how we have power over Satan. One of the things we are really excited about tonight is, I don't know about those of you, but I love the book of Job. It's one of my favorite books. And Job, Jobette, okay, book of Job. And so the purpose of this book is what's always important to me, and it jumps out, because it shows that in a world where evil is a reality, good people may appear to unjustly suffer. But that injustice is precipitated by the accuser, and though permitted by God, come on somebody, it is an expression of God's total confidence that the faith of God's servants are going to triumph. And we know that God's servants are going to triumph. We know that no matter what, because he promised, it's not about us. God's programs will be successful because it's not about us. It's because they belong to the Lord. They are the Lord's programs, and we belong to God. Which is why Job was successful. Hallelujah. So my question to all of you tonight as we open up the study is, what is it in this chapter? And I'm going to go around to each of you. And I want to know, what is it in this chapter that calls you when you hear it being read? When we listen to Margaret, what jumped out at you? What made its home in your heart? What jumped out at you? So who wants to start? Y'all can't be shy on the radio. Pastor Chris, what jumped out at you?
Well, what jumps out to me is just how this particular book of Job just
began. Can you
begin.
All hear?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
You're a lot better now. Yeah.
Okay, just how this book just kind of opens up, and it just talks about the character of Job. It talks about all of the good deeds and how upright and noble he was, and yet he had to endure some hard times. And even though he is described as all of these things, but it was his faith in God that God trusted him enough to put him through this test.
Amen.
Just to prove, right, that he is faithful to God as God is to him.
Amen. Amen. So who else, Margaret, what jumps out at you, Margaret, when you hear this, the book, when you were reading the book? What was it that jumped out and just manifested so strongly to you?
Well, I have to say that, praise God, for Satan does not reign. And
amen.
He is not all-powerful, and he does not have power over us since Jesus gave his life. However, I think he jumped out at me because of his boisterousness, his evilness, and how he seeks and finds someone and unfairly accuses and attacks them, someone who was a righteous man according to God, who knew. And Satan even probably knew as well, but he chose to tear him down. It was
jumped out
showing
at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, disturbing.
Minister Young.
Yes, thank you. I think as I read Job as a older man now than when I was younger, you know, God's word is a living word, and you always get a different, not always, but you get a different revelation, or God speaks you differently each time you read it. I think as I read it when I was younger, my concentration was on Job. As I read it now, my concentration still is on Job to some degree, but the thing that stood out to me was God's sovereignty. Everything centers around God and his omniscience, him being omnipotent and him possessing all knowledge, omniscient. Nothing happens in this book by circumstance. As you stated earlier, he allowed it. He permitted it. He saw that Job was faithful, and he also saw that he possessed power over Satan and allowed him to do the testing or tempting of Job. All that comes through the awesomeness and power of God. So I think that's what stood out to me this time as I read it versus years ago or when I was younger concentrating on Job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, all of you, for sharing. For me, this is Dr. Susie, and I'm in Crawfordsville. But what jumps out at me is Job's response. Job's response, I'm like, what maturity? You know, what maturity? Don't we all desire to be mature in the Lord? And as I think about that, as I think, you know, Lord, I've been doing ministry for all my life. I mean, I'm not going to give my age, but all my life, I've been just serving the Lord from day one and have continued through the years. You know, my life has been a sacrificial offering to God to do God's work. And in doing so, that maturity that I see, the integrity in his life, is phenomenal. And it makes me in awe. And it makes me pay attention to the present moment. So what I mean by that is right now, what's happening in my life? Am I aware? Am I being, you know, because what we see is that what happened to Job, it was here today and gone tomorrow. Are we aware of now? Are we dealing with the present? Are we taking the value of now the way God would have us to? And then when things happen, are we responding with the integrity and maturity and trust in the Lord that we claim to serve? What do y'all think about that? What do you think about that, Pastor or Minister Young? Do you always respond with that type of maturity? I don't. Pastor Chris? You, Margaret? No? Speak up. Go
Hello,
ahead,
Dr.
Young.
Can you hear me, Dr. Sue?
Yes,
I do.
Okay. Yes, thank you so much for that breakdown. I think it depends on what area of life you're being tested. I may be built up in some areas of my life in which I am able to demonstrate faith. I'm able to demonstrate maturity. And then there's certain
Amen.
Areas of my life where I will act like a child. I think Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child.
Well, come on, preach, brother.
When I became a man, I put away childish things. And so I think that maturity that you speak about happens in so many different levels, depending on the stage of life that you're in, your age, your maturity, who you hang around, where your faith level is with your word. And so it just depends on, you know, where you are built up and where you're not built up. I think Paul alludes to that when he talks about the shield of faith. As the whole armor of God, how do you move it? Where do you move it to? How do you use your word? How much word do you know? So I'm just being real as you are being real, removing the veil.
Yes.
There's some areas in my life in which I'm immature and I go crying to the Lord as a baby. And there's some areas in which I say, you know what, God, I can stand on your word. I know you'll never let me down.
Amen. And that's why we have to speak to listeners. We have to let them understand that while you're struggling in your reality, your circumstance, your situation, God is still listening. God is still walking. But the reality, like he was saying, that there's some areas that you've been built up and there's some areas you're weak. And that's why you have brothers and sisters to build you up, to bear you up. We're supposed to be there to help you as you go through your challenges, your tasks, and your trials. We as people of the Lord are supposed to bear up one another. And so if you don't have that person in your life, make sure you're going to the Word of God to find that strength, going to the Word of God. That's why you got Bible study. That's why you need to join us, because we're studying the Word. We're trying to find God's truth. We're trying to share those things so that we can all be strengthened and undergirded in our weaker areas. Because, see, I'm strong in the area, and Brother and Minister Chris and Minister Young, you know, you guys are maybe stronger in other areas than I am, and I may be stronger in an area that you're not. That's why we have the community of faith, so that we can effectively do the task that God has called us to. Okay.
Amen.
So anybody else?
Amen.
Anybody else? Sister Margaret.
Well, I am so blessed because I come and live and exist in a time much advanced over Job's, where I can turn to my Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that he gave his life for me, and that he is
Amen.
My mediator, and that he will seek the Lord. The Holy Spirit will communicate my prayers to the Lord, and there is no gap anymore, which poor Job had to suffer in his day, because there was no Messiah yet on this earth.
Well, and the scripture says, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And here we are, Job's prosperity promised so much stability. I mean, my goodness, the man had this huge, large household of devoted servants. He had this accumulated wealth, does not suddenly depreciate in value. Oxen, donkeys, cattle, what did he not have? This man had a major homestead, large scale. And his children were numerous. That was going to promise this long line of descendants. His prosperity needed nothing to make it complete. But up there, beyond the clouds, where no human eye could see, there's this scene. Unfortunately for poor Job, but fortunately as well, he gained some things. But the spirit of evil said face to face with our infinite spirit of all good, right? And this extraordinary conversation that you read, Margaret, began when he called to account. The evil one boasted and said he had gone to and fro in the earth and walked up and down it. What is he insinuating, ministers? Sister Margaret, what is he saying when he tells us that he has gone to and fro in the earth?
He is insinuating that he has great power on the earth and no one stands in his way, that he can go anywhere he wishes, that
Amen.
He is the prince of this world.
Amen. But what did God do, brothers in Christ? What did the Lord do? What did the Lord do when he said that? What was he reminding them of? What did he say?
Well, for me,
that was verse 1:7.
Yeah, through that particular conversation, you know, I think that we learn a great deal about Satan, right? And one of the things that we kind of learn is that he is accountable to God. That he cannot do anything without God's permission.
Yes. Amen.
So God has all power over Satan. So Satan is trying to convince himself to convince God, but God has all authority. So he has to get permission from God, because he's accountable to God. And even
Amen.
Though his intentions aren't good. And many times we are attacked as Christians only because God already knows how it's going to turn out, and he's given that permission to see if we're going to utilize and stand on our faith and represent him. So through that conversation, it shows that Satan is still accountable to God.
Right. And here he is by him marching up and down and through the earth. As Margaret was saying, he feels unchallenged. So he then, God has to remind him, wait a minute, you're not unchallenged. There is a man called Job who is loyal to me. Jehovah talks about the faithfulness of Job. And as you said, brother, then the enemy comes and talks and tries to say, then let me get permission to... to let you know that Job's integrity will be, surrendered the moment you take away all the things that you've given him, all the props of his integrity, all of the blessings, all of the towers of support that you have there, all his wealth. Take it away in one black day and then see what he will do. Amen.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
So then there's a second interview, right, that occurs between the Lord and this fallen angel, right, the enemy, Satan. And Job again is the conversation. Why is Job the conversation again? Because what did he do the first time that the enemy wasn't able to get? What happened? So in the scripture, as we look in verse, it says in verse, when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would stand and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God. And then the day when the man came and said that all the children had been killed, Job said to them, what did he say when all of that travesty hit him? He said, naked I came from my mother's womb. I don't know, y'all. Naked I will return The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now, come on, y'all. Let's be real. Where the rubber meets the road. All your kids. You lost your job. Ain't got no pension. And so here we are. This is the day that we're met face to face with, do we really, 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 really believe? And we get to see the meaning of suffering and what that looks like. And we're informed that this is really the work of the accuser, the master evil one. But why does God allow such a devastating blow? Now, don't you think that immediately? So when travesty occurs, come on, somebody. Where are you? How do you respond? Do you see the authenticity or natural humanity of Job? Where's the choir? Come on.
Well,
Dr. Sue,
I think in our natural man, right, the tendency is to say, woe is me, why did this happen to me? And I would be the first to admit I have gone there and use some unsaved language, if I may say.
Amen.
Called on some things to cause relief. How do you spell relief? But ultimately, I have to find out where am I rooted, where am I grounded at, and my spirit man
come
up to the forefront eventually.
Yes.
And so, you know, one has to ask themselves, where is my firm foundation? Am I rooted and grounded in Christ? I think the Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way
that's
of the sinner,
nor
sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
He shall do what? Meditate in it day and night. And it goes on to say, he shall be like a tree. Come on now. Planted
by
the rivers of water. So there comes a point in your maturity, in your spiritual walk, where, yes, the seasons are going to change, but I have to be like that tree and be planted. And that comes with experience, that comes with growth, that comes with challenges, that comes with going through, that comes through, you know, just being challenged and being groomed with the Lord. And I can't say I've always been there, but I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. And so I'm much rooted and grounded in Christ now than I was earlier. But there have been some times in which, yes, I have said some four-letter words like I stubbed my toe, but thanks be to God, I've grown and matured and able to call on him now.
But Pastor Chris, we all grow in there. But what is real that we need to hear from what you just said is that you will go through real stuff. Real circumstances will challenge your life because the enemy is real. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a target, baby. And the goal is to take you out. So don't get where you think, Christianity is piousness and relaxation, and I thank God for this. And but it's not easy. This is not an easy journey. The enemy, if you are serving the Lord, if you are doing all that he's called you to do, you will be challenged. This story is a story about the meaning of suffering and how we have to do it sometimes and that we can be resilient. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.
Yes.
By holding on and trusting God's unchanging hand.
You know, this is definitely
Pastor Young.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, this definitely speaks to a level of, and sometimes, man, the greater the attack, and that we come through, that's where we gain our maturity, and that's why I think that it's important to understand how Job opens up, this book opens up describing this man's character and God bragging on him, which asks, can God brag on us even through tough times?
Yes.
Because the Bible lets us know that through all of that, Job did not sin.
Yes.
Right? That he did not sin. Understanding that even though I lost everything that I had and I did nothing to deserve none of this, but yet it still found me. Yes, I'm grieving. Yes, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
But the character that describes Job from God, right? Can God brag on us? Right?
Well,
or will we revert back to our old habits, our old languages, our old mindset, our oh no, this is not going to happen to me, right? Oh no, something's definitely going on, something wrong. I'll handle this. But he said, naked I came, and naked I'll go. And he's saying not. You know what I mean? There are some things, man, that can just trigger us in this world today that will sometimes make us forget that we do know scripture, that we do have salvation in our hearts. But yet he went through all of this in the course of a day.
Amen.
And yet God trusted him. Oh, that's
Amen.
Maturity. Oh, my God. That God trusted him that even through this, he ain't going to sin against me.
You know, brother, I thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate that. And the question I also want to ask is, when stuff happens, people will say, why would God do that? A child was killed or hit by a car. Why would God allow that? Why would God? And see, this clearly shows that it's not God that has
Amen.
Done the evil. It is not God who has touched and destroyed his body or his house
Yes.
or his family or his loved ones or taken away. That wasn't God. And sometimes we got to learn how to hear the voice of the enemy. We got to learn how to know when it's the enemy's dealings and behavior and be able to tell his techniques because he's consistent. We can know that that's not of God. When we study and know the character of God, that's what we stand on. And in this case, it was the work of the accuser, the master of evil. In this case, it was the one who was trying to destroy man and accomplish his purpose of making the Lord look bad. So why does God dating blows to our lives? Why does God allow those things? Minister Young, what do you think the reason why God allows those kind of things to occur?
Well,
does God have a higher purpose?
Yes, thank you for the question. This is a common question that's asked in church, Vacation Bible School, Sunday School. You know, everyone wants to know if I serve a loving God, a good God, a kind God, a sweet God, an everlasting God, a saving God, why would he do or permit something like this? And, you know, I think we have to go back to the beginning when Adam and Eve were deceived. And Adam ate of the forbidden tree. The scripture says that not only did man fall, but it said creation fell as well. So we all are yearning and desiring to be in that sweet harmony with Christ. And so I think there are times in which he permits, he allows different things to happen in our lives. So when we do experience his kindness, when we do experience his goodness, we will know him, because the word says, my sheep hear my voice, another they will not follow. So as we experience his goodness, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is
yes.
the man that trusted in him. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we will
yes.
be able to praise him because of his goodness.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, he allows us to experience these travesties in life just so we will know how good he is. Because he's good even in those trying times. He's good even in those desperate times. He's good even when death comes knocking at your door. He's good even when you're sick. He's good when you're
Amen.
In some affliction. He's good all those different times. So I think God wants us to experience him when we're up and when we're down.
Yes.
And we will never know that if we do not go through the different seasons, not only in our lives, but it could be in one particular part of a day.
Amen. So praise God for that testimony, that truth, that reminder that what we need to be conscious of as we bring the rubber to the road, as we take an account of what was happening in Job and bring it to an understanding of real life, everyday life with us. How do we operate understanding that when we encounter devastation and challenge, when we encounter a series of blows, is it not God's higher power designed to humiliate the adversary? See, sometimes I think God wants the enemy to know. They love me. You can do all you want to do, because the fight between good and evil occurred before we even got on this earth. It occurred up in heaven when the enemy chose to take a third of the angels and lie to them. He was smart enough and conniving enough to go against God, and the fight against good and evil began. So if that battle was already taking place, and here he is trying to again incite to think that, like Margaret was saying, here he is. He's bold. He's the man. He can walk untouched, unchallenged, anywhere he wants to go, and then nobody, and do his own pleasure, and everybody just going to give in to him. And the Lord said, No, you think you've got it all. You think you know what you're doing and what's going on. You think you're running something. I run this over here. I run all this. Like you were saying, I run all this, and I want to show you, you miss Job. Job is someone of integrity. Job is my child. Job loves me. And so guess what? When you and I go through trials and tribulations, God knew way ahead of time when we would be victorious, and God was counting on us to pass that test, and we did. And we did. We were resilient. And guess what? And when we don't pass them and we fall down, we become resilient and get back up. The higher purpose is that we grow. The higher purpose is that we learn. The higher purpose is that we grow to become all that God desires for us, and that our inner man is strengthened. So when we talk about Job tearing his outer garment, cropping his hair, what was he doing that for? Why was he doing all that? What was the purpose?
I believe that those were just moments of humanity of grieving.
Amen.
Right. Just the humanity to have to deal with the realities of what life has given us, right?
Absolutely.
How do we respond, right? In this day and time, and I don't think God made humans any different today than he did back then, just a different day and time. How do we respond, right? How do we respond in our grief, right? As we prayed earlier, man, for those that have suicidal thoughts, right? How do we respond, right, as Christians? How do we respond? Do we go, the woe is me?
Right?
How do we respond? And, you know, I'm encouraged by this entire story even more, and I got a couple of sermons out of here too, but this particular thing just shows his humanity, right? That he had a moment, and yet even in that moment, right, he said not. And matter of fact, going a little bit further, he went to worshiping God even in his grief-stricken state.
Come on.
Right? You know, man, we sing the song,
Amen.
Worship is real. But really, this is a true test. Can you say that your worship is for real in the midst of grief? In the midst of losing everything. Not just one thing out of a lot of things, but losing everything. Everything that you come to love, everything that you come accustomed to is now gone, right? And yet there's a grieving moment, but yet God still remains.
But
which reminds me that if I lost everything but still had God, that would be enough to start over again.
And that's a perfect segue in what I'm trying to say, or just that came to me, brother. It was this very thing right here. It was like when you were talking about how we begin to worship in grief. And I was asking a question about the higher purpose. Do you know, when we ask the question, we got to understand that in this text, Job felt it was God. Come on, y'all, listen. It was responsible.
Amen.
Job felt that it was God that was responsible. And that makes it even more dynamic and powerful. When you know that it's the Lord that you trust in and lean in and depend on, you think God is responsible, which is why he says, the Lord gave. Come on, somebody. And the Lord has mm-hmm. taken away. See, Job was ignorant of what had taken place in the divine council. He didn't know nothing about that. He didn't know that the Lord had been talking to the accuser and allowed the accuser to strike what had taken place, to strike him. But Job was right. It was the Lord who had taken away. See, it doesn't solve the problem of evil, nor is it the purpose of the book of Job to solve this dilemma. But Job's statement of trust in God is phenomenal. Hallelujah. It goes so far than any situation I've ever heard of. The relationship. And we got to go back to understanding that Job would worship with God in the morning. He'd even offer it for his own children. He was in relationship with God. And that's what we have to learn, that we have to have a relationship with God. And I'm not talking about where you go to church on Sunday and that's the only time you talk to the Lord. I'm talking about Bible study. I'm talking about devotions. I'm talking about talking with him through the day and walking with him on your way. I'm talking about all the things that intimacy involves. See, loving God enough to trust even when you feel he's taking away from you. Woo! Have mercy. Can we as humans even love like that? When we think our boyfriend, husband, wife, best are doing something against us, we ready to get rid of them. Move, go, get out. Don't want you around. But that was a trust. Have mercy. That is unheard of, that Job had in his relationship with God, when he can say, may the name of the Lord be praised. Hallelujah. And again, the accuser was foiled. Again, his role is to steal souls. Again, his role is to take away from the Lord and to hurt God, because he knew God loved Job. And Job, praise God. Hallelujah. So here we got the author talking about Job. We move into talking about his friends in the next section. But isn't it awesome to understand that we can have a relationship with God that's so powerful that even when we're not sure, or we think that God might be testing us or trying us, that we don't give in, we don't run away, we don't say, I'm done, but we hold on tighter, hallelujah, and we believe. I'm telling y'all, when I lost my daughter, one day I said good night to my daughter. The morning she was gone, I was breathing for her on the floor, asking the Lord to let her stay, praying, doing mouth to mouth, that she would live. And yet, Lord, please let her stay. And knowing the thing that's so important to you is being taken away. And the question becomes, will you still believe when it doesn't make sense? Will you still believe when it's not going your way? Will you still believe when the cost is high? Hallelujah. Job said, praise his name. Hallelujah. Praise his name. So, tonight we talked about how we have to understand that when we had this second interview with the Lord and the angel, and he went back to him and he said, you know what? Job was rich. He had all these things. And then he said, you know, we're going to not only take his material things, but Lord, I want you to let me hurt his body. You to let me remove his health. Now, when the rubber meets the road, the real thing, the real discussion, when you find out you got cancer, are you still trusting? When you find out you got kidney failure, or you got a poor heart, are you going to keep trusting? The real deal is now. How are you going to respond to the Lord? Lord, I'm mad at you. You didn't do what I want. You didn't keep me safe from harm. Can you say, I praise him, I put my trust in him, no matter what, I'm going to stand firm, because this mountain will not be moved. I will trust. And you know, it talks about what Christ said on the right hand of God, and he says, let your heart and your treasure be where your moth nor your rust thus corrupted, where thieves do not break through or steal. And what he's trying to let us know is that nothing can compare with the love that we have with Jesus Christ.
Dr. Nothing. Sue.
Yes, I can't hear you. Yes.
Young here, as you were talking about that or bringing up the issue about attacking Job's body, what immediately came to my mind was when Paul was praying about the thorn that was in his side. He prayed three times for the thorn to be removed, and God came back and said, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
And so
Come
we
on.
Have to We have to grow and mature to a point where we recognize that God's grace is sufficient to meet and supply not just some, not just a little bit, but all of my needs. Even though my heart is pumping, even though I got limited kidneys, even though my eyesight is gone, God's grace is more than enough to supply all of my needs. And so we evidently, Job had matured to a point that he was able to say at the end of that chapter that naked I came into the world, God gave us, but blessed be the name of the Lord. But yet and still, some of us can be emotional like Job, because later on in the couple chapters later, he says, "I wish God would curse the day I was born." Now that would, if you were to read that, you would say, "Well, this doesn't sound like the same Job that was talking about naked I came into the world." But there's periods and seasons of our lives in which we have to stand firm and stand fast for God, even though we're going through, and recognize the sufficiency of Christ, recognize His awesomeness, recognize His holiness. That even when it looks like I'm losing, I am still winning because I'm standing in covenant with God Almighty.
Amen.
Praise God.
Because God has a higher purpose. And it's our testimony in the midst of that challenge, in the midst of that struggle, be it cancer or a kidney infection, whatever it is, people are watching us. And we become living testimonies. You know, one of the things I always say, brothers and sisters, is that I want to live well and I want to die well. I want to live well and I want to die well. I want to die well for the Lord.
Amen.
It's a part of living. Let it not be in vain. Amen, amen. So we will pick that up, and we will deal with chapter 2 next week when we come back, and we will deal with Spurgeon talking about Satan's considerations, where he talks about, "Oh, Lord, consider my troubles, consider my meditations. Blessed is he that considers the poor." We'll be talking about Psalms. We'll be talking about what Satan is trying to do and how he interacts with his friends. How Job interacts with his friends. I think next week is going to be interesting, because we'll get to talk about what that really looks like when you have supposed friends in the church. Well, at this point in time, I would like to ask Pastor Chris, I know, I hope you don't mind my asking, would you extend an invitation to the people out there tonight who've been listening on the radio? And as you do so, I'll be preparing to close us out. So if you will offer up an invitation for those to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah. At this time, and we would like to extend this invitation to Christ. We know that this is radio, but yet it still works the same. And we know that God is here and He's available to you and for you. There's someone who don't know Christ in the pardon of their sins. There's someone who's unsure. Or maybe even you're on the fence about knowing who Jesus really is. We take this time now to just offer Christ to you, that you can learn to walk in the ways of God and learn to walk in the ways of God and experience this thing of this faith walk. Wherever my voice is heard, that we're sending prayers to your heart and to your mind for God to just touch you and for God to just keep you time as you make up your mind and you make up your decision to follow Christ. Because it's all about a relationship. Because our hope is built Christ, and all other ground is sinking sand. All right, Dr. Sue.
Amen. If you have done what Pastor Chris has said and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior into your life, we are just asking that you would say this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. Lord, touch me and help me to be one that will go and live with you forevermore, because I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again with victory, and that I too will rise and live with you forevermore. And if you prayed that prayer and you believe, as Pastor Chris was saying, then you are part of the family of God. And we want to let you know today you have joined us, and the angels are celebrating on your behalf. And we are celebrating with you here at Love Connection Bible Study, and we ask that you join and get involved in a Bible-believing church, and that as you get involved in that Bible-believing church, that you would become baptized, and that you would grow in the Word of God by studying, and join us back here every Tuesday night, and know that God is about transforming and changing your life and ours as we walk and study his word. So if you would join us next week, every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. at Eastern Standard Time, and call in to 646-478-4932. Feel free to join us. We're excited and want to have you with us. And bring a friend and some family members. And make sure that when you go out today, that you tell somebody about someone who loves everybody and is willing to save everybody, and his name is Jesus Christ. God's blessings be with you. Join us next week on Love Connection Bible Study.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.